Turn with me in your Bibles to Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. I'm reading from the New King James Version, and I'll read verses 8 through 13. Listen. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. And may the Lord bless to our hearts and lives this reading and hearing of his holy and inspired word. Let us now look to God for a few moments of silent prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and answer them according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Those who lived through World War II remember a remarkable group of men called the CBs. I found out at Elk Shoals this morning that a member who had passed away a year ago, Herb Virtue, was a member of the CBs. The CBs were the men who went ashore right behind the Marines during the Pacific Island battles. They constructed the new facilities necessary for the support and establishment of our nation's combat forces. And they referred to themselves as can-do people. And they were often quoted as saying, "The difficult we do immediately, the impossible may take a couple of days." Throughout the history of the Christian church, there have been examples of can-do individual Christians. The Apostle Paul was such an individual Christian. And the little church, the little congregation at Philippi was such a church. And Paul began his letter to the Philippians by thanking them for their can-do brand of Christianity. He was aware that it was their can-do prayers, along with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that sustained him and gave him hope, even while he was in prison in Rome. Paul was inspired by their willingness to attempt anything for the sake of Jesus Christ. And this inspired him to write, toward the end of his letter, to that church at Philippi. It inspired him to write this affirmation in verse 13 of this fourth chapter. He wrote, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul made it very clear that Christians are can-do people because God has made His power available to them in living the Christian life. Now, what is it that Christians have power to do in living the Christian life? And Paul wraps up the answer in two words: all things. There is no aspect of living, no circumstance of life from which a Christian is exempt. All things include such things, includes those circumstances of being told that one has cancer, or being laid off from work, or having a loved one to die. All things means having much or having little, enjoying good health or bad health, triumph or tragedy, victory or defeat. Paul is saying, I can do all things, endure all things, whatever might happen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Paul was echoing his own statement in his letter to the Romans, where he writes, "Neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God as found in Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, there is no situation, no circumstance of life from which we as followers of Christ would be exempt. Anything that can happen to anybody can happen to us as believers in Christ. A Christian is one who knows that he can do all things. He can endure all things, no matter what the circumstance is, through Christ. In 1983, during our children's spring break, we decided to take our family on a camping trip to Disney World. Now, we left at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we pulled our pop-up camper to Jellystone Campground near Disney World. You know where that is, Andy? Of course, it may not be there now. Remember, this is 1983. Well, we took our portable television. It had the screen about the size of a dinner plate. Do you remember those TVs? It was a little portable TV. It just had a screen just about that size. Well, after supper, we put that TV out on the table next to the camper. Harriet made some popcorn. We had some peanuts. And we watched the North Carolina State basketball team play the favored Houston Cougars. It was a very exciting game, those of you who ever watched that game. I watched it yesterday afternoon on television, on YouTube. Watched the highlights. Very exciting. NC State won at the very last second. They won that game 54-52. Well, we were all so excited that other people came. What's this excitement going on at that campsite? They gathered around. They started watching the game. They got enthusiastic about the game, too. And they ate our popcorn and our peanuts. But we had a great time. We were glad to share. And I can still, and I watched it yesterday, I can still see in my mind Jim Valvano running across the basketball court to congratulate his team. Sports fans around the country knew him as Jimmy V. Valvano died 10 years later in 1993 after a year-long battle with cancer. Now, Valvano will be remembered as an outstanding TV analyst and an eloquent, inspirational speaker. But most of all, I think he will be remembered for the courageous way he faced a debilitating illness. A few weeks before he died, Valvano was honored on national television. And this is what he had to say toward that vast television audience. He said, "Today I fight a different battle. You see, I have trouble walking and trouble standing for a long period of time. Cancer has taken away a lot of my physical abilities, but what cancer cannot touch are my mind, my heart, and my soul. I have faith in God and hope things will get better for me. But if they don't, I promise you this, I will never, ever quit. I will never, ever give up. And if cancer gets me, then I'll just go to heaven and I'll be the best basketball coach they've ever seen up there." And then he pointed to his 1983 championship team and he said, "I learned a great lesson from these guys. They amazed me. They did things I wasn't sure that they could do. But they did it because they absolutely refused to give up." This was the theme of our championship season. Never, ever give up. And that's the lesson I learned from them. And that's the message I leave with you. Never, ever give up. Never, ever give up. That's not just one isolated story. There are countless Christians like Jimmy V. Look all around you at some genuine Christians and you know who have faced sickness or adversity or even poverty. Ask them how they did it. How did they find the strength and the courage to face the difficulties that they had to face? And the chances are overwhelming that they will answer in some fashion what Paul writes in this 13th verse of the 4th chapter to his letter to the Philippians. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Through Christ. Don't miss those two words. Through Christ. Those words tell us who enables us to be can-do Christians. I can do all things through Christ. Paul was not calling attention to what he could do personally. He was calling attention to what he could do through Christ. You see, Paul was a Christ-possessed man. Christ was in his heart, in his mind, in his deeds. If it had not been for Christ in him, Paul could not have been effective as a missionary, as a preacher, as a church builder. If it had not been for Christ in him, Paul could not have endured the ridicule, the persecutions, the beatings, the imprisonment that he endured. If it had not been for Christ in him, Paul would have been Saul, a judgmental Pharisee. And he would only be remembered as an accomplice in the murder of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. The ability to do all things through Christ is available even when we are confronted by tragedy or grief or even death. When Ralph Waldo Emerson lost his son, it was an extremely difficult experience for him. He found that it was only his faith and the presence of Christ that enabled him to endure. And on one of his darkest days, he said, "All I have seen teaches me to trust God for all that I have not seen." And that same sort of assurance is given to every Christian. God is always with us. We have his word on it. We can trust it. And therefore we can say with the Apostle Paul, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Don't forget those last three words in Paul's affirmation. Those three words, "who strengthens me." Those three words tell us that Christ gives us the power to live the Christian life. Through Jesus Christ, we are supplied with the power we need to love the unlovely, to forgive the hateful, and reach out to the lonely. And how does the power of Christ work to strengthen us for our daily living? The three primary ways are through prayer, the Bible, and worship. And two of the most familiar religious cliches are "all things are possible through prayer," and "the greatest power in the world is prayer power." And these statements are true because they recognize that as human beings, we are not able to do everything on our own. We need God's help. Did you know that during the Apollo missions to the moon, the spaceships were off course more than 90% of the time? But yet through continual communication with mission control, they were able to make all the necessary corrections during that journey. And in our journey through life, we get off course, don't we? Some of the time. For some people, it might be most of the time. But by staying in constant contact with God through prayer, we can correct our course. We can stay headed in the right direction. Can-do Christians stay in contact with God through prayer. And our prayers will help give us the strength and the power to live the Christian life. And the power of Christ is also available from the Bible. The Bible is the most widely owned book in the world. It is probably that every Christian home has at least one Bible. It's a sad fact, though, that the Bible is also one of the least used and least read books in the world. Owning a Bible and not using it for power for daily living is like living next to a nuclear plant and lighting our home with kerosene lanterns. The Word of God in the Bible has the power to save and to transform. Can-do Christians know this? And they can say with the Apostle Paul, when he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And finally, Christians find power for daily living through worship. There is so much power available for the individual Christian in the worship service, like we are experiencing today. And when Christians join together in worship, the Holy Spirit is present in the psalms, in the hymns, in the prayers, in the sacraments, and believe it or not, even in the sermon. The power of God is available. And when Christians worship, they receive power because Jesus has said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." The power of the Holy Spirit is nothing less than God's power. And this power can change sinners into saints, doubt into faith, and bring men and women to Christ. This power enabled the Apostle Paul to say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And this same power is available to you and to me. It's the power that can enable us to be can-do Christians. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for these words from the Apostle Paul. He truly was a can-do Christian. And may it also be said of us that through our faith in Jesus Christ, through our trust in him, that we will be can-do Christians as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.